Hey, thanks for joining in. I'm Andrew Mall, at Ask the Data on Twitter, and this is Alejandro, part of the HG Insight Spark team. We've both talked to you a couple times now, talked to you before about the intro to Spark and how it works, and now we're going to talk a little bit about the machine learning libraries that are included on Spark. For those of you who are kind of still trying to wrap their head around what machine learning looks like, we're going to kind of take you through defining some feature sets, figuring out what's important to make a prediction, and kind of show you how that what that looks like in a Jupyter notebook within Spark.
Yeah, so machine learning is a way to try to get information from data and then make predictions about it, in very general terms.
Yes.
And one of the libraries that's out there is MLlib, which is included as part of Spark. And you can use the Spark ML libraries to start doing some cool machine learning on top of big data. What we're going to show you today is a logistic regression, which is a classification algorithm that's going to run on top of crime reports from the city of Chicago from 2001 to today. And then we're going to try to predict whether we would get caught or not were we to do one of those crimes.
Don't worry, we're not actually doing any crimes. Just hypothetically, if we were in this part of Chicago, would we get caught or not?
Yeah, statistically.
By no means should you use this as your next crime spree.
Exactly. And so
learnings.
So what I have here on the machine, it's a Spark cluster, and it's a 16-node Spark cluster. And what you'll see is that this is the Spark UI that we expose as part of an HG Insight cluster. You're basically getting a look at 16 workers with 64 cores and 96 gigs of memory. And what I'm going to do is, if I go here to the notebooks, and I go to Jupyter, I'll see my Jupyter notebooks. I have pre-created one that is called ML Logistic Regression, and that's the one that we're going to take a look at now. So logistic regression is a classification algorithm, as I said, and you have a series of features that you want to train your data on top of, and you want to be able to predict whether a new data point is going to be one classification or the other. So if we go down, think of these points. This is from Wikipedia. This is one of the images that is in Wikipedia for logistic regression. Think of these points as points that you train your model on top of. And basically, you're saying every single point here has two features, X and Y. And then you draw a line trying to classify them as accurately as possible. And so you say, if another random point, say a point around here on the screen, were to come, based on this classification, it would be, say, 1. If it's down here, it might be 2 or 0.
Yeah, so maybe thinking about that in the crime aspect. So let's say, for example, in this example, the y-axis is the crime committed, and the x-axis is the location of the crime committed.
Right, and if only based on that, we could say you're going to get caught or not.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is basically trying to find this red line for the crimes that tells me whether, given an X and a Y, am I going
was
to be above the line
above
or below
and caught
the line?
Or yes. Below and not caught?
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's logistic regression. And as I said, that's one of the different algorithms that are part of MLlib. Here is a list of them. Things like random forest or clustering k-means.
Yep.
Things like that.
And you guys get access to this notebook afterwards, so you'll be able to see all of these and all the algorithms, but it's pretty easy to find.
And all of these is, again, in the Spark documentation, for which this notebook has links to. That's logistic regression. And we're basically going to be showing some of the code that is needed to get there, and then how the data looks like and do some predictions on top of it. And so I'll show you a little bit what this is. I'm using the Jupyter notebook, which means I'm running PySpark.
Okay.
So I'm going to be programming in Python against Spark. And so what I'm doing is I'm importing all the PySpark libraries that I'm going to need. Then I'm going to import the ML libraries from PySpark that I'm going to need. And then I'm importing matplotlib.
Okay.
Matplotlib is a library that lets me plot a bunch of graphics on top of the Jupyter notebook. It can be used elsewhere, but we are including it as part of our HE Insight cluster. And so it comes as part of the Anaconda libraries,
which
are there for you to use. And so what I'm doing is I'm basically telling matplotlib that I'm going to be using it inline so that the graph shows, and then I'm just importing it.
Okay, so it's a visualization library.
Yes. And then what I'm doing is I'm getting a Spark configuration. So as we said in the Spark internals for PySpark, we have to specify the Spark master and create it ourselves. We're going to be naming this PySpark regression. And then we're going to ask for 50 cores and 4 gigs of memory. We create the Spark context with this configuration and then a SQL context. And so we're just going to run that. And it's when you see this asterisk here, that means that it's running.
Okay.
If it comes as a number, if it becomes a number, that means it's done running. And so now we take a look at some of the crime data, right? This is from a public data set that the city of Chicago published.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an example here of 3 of those rows.
Okay.
Yeah. These are criminal trespass on land in a restaurant, and the criminal was actually caught.
Okay.
Got him. Battery on a parking. He was not caught. Or she was not caught. And then weapons violation in an alley, also not caught.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to do is, remember we talked about features. So our features are going to be the type of crime, the description, the district in which it was committed, and the year.
Okay.
Because we think that's something that we could, and this is a wild guess, but this is, we think, something that would give us some insight into whether we would get caught or not. And then the classification criteria will be arrest, true or false.
Yep.
In order to do that, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be creating a pipeline. But in order to build that machine learning pipeline, we need to get a training data set, right? Now, we've hosted this training data set for us on an Azure storage account, and the cluster has access to this Azure storage account.
Okay.
If you wanted to do something similar with your own cluster, you have to get your data set into your storage account and then train your model from there.
So about what percentage of the total data set are you using for training?
So I think we took something like 20%, just because we wanted it to run a little bit faster for the demo. But normal practices are, say, you get something like 80% of your data set to train with, and then 20% to do testing on top of, to see if you overfit it or if it's actually correct, things like that. But yeah, this is just for demo purposes. And so what I'm doing here is I'm creating a label document. And the way to think about this is think of a police report. So we're building a police report, and we have 2 piles of police reports, one for people who got caught and one for people who didn't. And what we're doing is we're getting from those rows documents, and we put them on 2 different stashes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing right
now.
So the text here, the ID is just a number that Spark will need. The text is actually what's on the police report. And what we will do with that text in a later cell, you'll see we're going to be tokenizing that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to be hashing it, because Spark needs the words as numbers. And then we're going to be training our model on top of it based on the label here. And the label, again, is think of it as the 2 stashes of police reports.
Dependent variable, again, of whether they were caught or not.
Exactly, precisely. The way to do that is via this method, via this function that we've created here, which is called parse document.
Okay.
So parse document is going to create a label document based on the columns here, so column 5, 7, 11, and 17, which are the feature vectors that I described. And then based on column 8, which is this arrest column. And then what we're going to be doing is we're going to be getting it from the storage account, as I mentioned, outputting it into data frames. I'm going to cache it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to show some of the rows there. And if you remember from the Spark fundamentals, Spark is an in-memory technology.
Yep.
And what it is doing, it's creating RDDs. And those RDDs live in memory, but they are lazily evaluated. By caching it, I'm going to be able to use that training data set as I go along in my different cells without having to recompute every single time. So right now it's reading from the storage account. I believe these are around 1 million items, 1 million rows. And yeah, so it's reading it, ingesting it, we're going to cache it, and it should start going faster once it's cached. As you see here, these are the documents I produced. So this is the text I was talking about, and then the labels, the different labels.
Okay.
Once we come here, and this is probably the hardest or the longest running cell on this script, this is actually training my entire model. What I'm doing is tokenizing it, then hashing it, then doing logistic regression on top of it, and then you can specify parameters on top of every algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
This one in particular takes the number of iterations, the maximum number of iterations to do over it, I'm saying 10, and then this parameter is actually telling it how much it can, it's an overfitting guard.
Okay.
So that you don't overfit.
We're turning the knobs to make sure that we're getting a more accurate model
given
our feature set.
Yes, and this is just something that we took from, these are just parameters that are basically used for an example. They are by no means correct.
Yes.
But you can play with them, and you can then, as we mentioned, you have your training data set and then your testing data set, and then you can start seeing which numbers make sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's formulas to try to optimize them.
And this is the science part of data science, right?
Exactly.
This is, it's not perfect. Not every algorithm is going to fit every path
every
of data.
It's
really a try and retry until you get
precisely
what is accurate enough for this specific use case.
Yeah, and you might have to do several trainings to try to see which knob you have to turn and
mm-hmm.
in what way, right?
Yeah.
So that's the whole idea. And again, what we did is we built a pipeline with this tokenizer, the hashing, and the logistic regression. And then we fitted it over our training data set. So now we have a model, a machine learning model. And what we're going to do before we start using it is we're going to try to develop an intuition on what this data has. So say we're going to get some statistics and then try to see if our prediction corresponds to the statistics.
Yeah.
So what we are going to do is we're going to register a table on Spark, which is going to let us query SQL-like, a SQL-like language on top of that information.
Okay.
And this is via the SQL context, which is running a Spark SQL. So I'm registering the training table here. And then I'm going to do a select star from training, and then I'm going to do a count on top of those.
Okay.
Those are the total number of crimes that were committed, period.
Okay.
Whether
within our training
people are
set
caught or not yet.
Okay.
Because I cached the data, these queries are really fast.
Very fast. So it's just going out, hitting that cached RDD,
yes,
and bringing back a select star.
Exactly. And it's actually going and looking at roughly a million rows.
Mm-hmm.
For this one, I'm going to go and say, give me the rows where people were caught.
Okay.
And then going to do a count on it. And so it's around 300K.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I said, we're going to be using Matplotlib to do some of the visualizations here.
Okay.
Now, you'll notice that the graph is already there.
Yes.
The reason for that is this is a Jupyter feature. When you run a Jupyter notebook, Jupyter graphs your results, and even if the cluster is not there, you can still look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could download this notebook, create a PDF, create an HTML page, things like that, and you will be able to see all of your data and create a story around it, just like we've done here.
That's great. So you can take these wherever you have to go, bring them with you.
Yeah. When you upload it into a cluster and start playing with it, these cells, you can run.
Okay.
Right? And so that's recomputed for you. So we basically see 70% of the people are not caught, 30% of the people are caught.
Quite surprising, actually.
And this is just a small sample of that whole data set. So I don't know exactly how the numbers, the real numbers look like, because this is not
the full data set.
But it's
in our sample, it's a criminal's world out there.
And so we'll get now for a we did it for all crimes.
Yes.
Let's do it for only a specific crime now and develop an intuition for that crime. Now, I noticed gambling is a little bit odd in the sense that I'm getting all of the crimes where people gambled here, and it's around 2,000 crimes. And I'm going to get the number of crimes where people were caught, which, as you can see, is almost all.
It's almost exact, yeah.
Visualizing it, just for the kicks of it, 99.7% of people get caught if they gamble.
Yeah.
So it's probably not a good idea to gamble in Chicago.
Yeah, put the dice away.
if people notice you, you'll get caught.
Yeah.
Which sounds about reasonable, right?
Sure.
And then we can start seeing, if I gamble, what will my model say? We're expecting it should say you'll get caught
regardless of where you are. It's everywhere.
Yes. So we'll do that. Now, in order to do that, we need to use our model to do some prediction on top of it. And what I've developed here is a simple Python function that's going to basically say very verbose fashion. You will most likely either get caught or not get caught for committing a crime X with a probability of Y.
Okay.
So I'm just going to define this, and then I'm going to say, if I gamble in a restaurant in District 20 in 2015, will I get caught or not? And so this is going against our Spark cluster, and it's using the ML libraries, our pipeline that we built, in order to predict what will happen. You'll see now.
And so if we wanted to change the model in and out, it'd be pretty easy to do in this case, right? You would change the logistic regression in that first cell to something different, and then you could run this entire pipeline again and see how it comes out.
Yeah, so you can use a different classification.
Okay, that's great. So it's come back?
So it's come back, and it's saying...
And we are going to jail.
That we're going to jail with a probability of 96%.
Okay.
Of course, this is... As you see here, this at 99.7, but that was not taking into account things like the place where the thing happened and what district, what year, things like that. So we could play with all of that. Now I took another crime, which is narcotics.
Yep.
And let's see what happens with narcotics on the street. And I believe this is also going to say go to jail.
Yeah.
With a very high probability.
Kind of hope so, right?
So there you go.
Okay.
It's saying that you're going to jail with 95% probability.
Yeah.
Almost 96%.
Yeah, almost. That's a good chance.
Yeah. So you should probably not do either gambling or narcotics in Chicago is what these predictions are saying. And this is the entire scenario for an ML pipeline built on top of Spark.
Okay.
The cool thing being, you can look at millions of rows.
And that was very fast.
Yeah.
And so if we're building this and we want to work on it together, what's kind of the source control story for this?
So what you could do is, these notebooks, you can host anywhere, right?
Okay.
The files. So what I could do is I could go say file, download as, and then I could download the IPython notebook. And by doing that, I'll get a file that I can source control, put anywhere I want, and then download from and to the cluster as much as I want. And so it basically becomes a compute engine that can take different files and point to different storage accounts and be able to work with all your data sets.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And that's easily put up in GitHub or anywhere that you'd
Yeah, anywhere that you want. Anywhere that you want.
Awesome. So that's the ML lid, Jupyter Notebook.
Yep, using some Anaconda libraries like matplotlib. And yeah, just out of curiosity, if we wanted to go to the Spark UI, now we'll see that most of my course are taken, and that's because of that Spark app that it's out there. And most of my memory is also taken, just because I assign a bunch of resources to that app.
Yes.
Which is ties back a little bit to the Spark intro video mm-hmm. that we did.
So explain to that a little bit more. So your app that you associated would be then your Jupyter Notebook.
Yes.
And so if someone else was to come on and try and use your cluster as well with another Jupyter Notebook, or if you want to run multiple apps.
So if they want that, because I assign most of their resources, they would have to wait for me to free those resources.
Okay.
I could have chosen to say, instead of assigning over here, one of the first cells, instead of assigning 50 cores, I could have said 25 cores.
Mm-hmm.
It would have run a little bit slower, but I could have had the cluster used for other apps.
Okay.
Say the SharePoint Notebook, or if we want to do something like Tableau or Power BI, or, I don't know, a Node-DBC connection, things like that. Even Spark Submit, if you remote into the cluster. You can do all sorts of things on the cluster, having different apps.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, and so I think we said before that you're going to release this. This is something they'll be able to play with and should be able to download on for those who are listening and want to get a chance to play and to predict their own crimes and their
yes.
possibility of getting away. We're going to make this available to you. So if people have questions, anything like that, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is AGGFTW, so AGG for the win.
It's good.
And so I'm guessing that's on screen?
Yes, we'll put it right here.
So just send your questions, send suggestions, things like that, anything that you might want to add, things that we could improve, and we're here to listen for you.
Yep. And so thanks for signing in. Again, I'm Andrew Mall, here with Alejandro. AGG for the win, and we'll be talking to you shortly about another topic focused around Spark. Thanks for joining in.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.